First Bible reading is from Genesis 8, 1-20. But God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. The waters receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountain of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water over all the surface of the earth. And so it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there was in its beak a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the waters had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the seventh month, the earth was completely dry. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the earth, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife, his sons' wives, and all the animals and all the creatures that move on the ground, and all the birds, everything that moves on the land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an ark, an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 4-11. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the peoples of Jerusalem came out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the River Jordan. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At that time, Jesus came down from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up from the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Curtis Thompson, and it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Before we begin, let us pray. Dear Lord, use my simple words and these Bible stories to reveal something wonderful about a life and a relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Before I begin, I must make a declaration of interest, because not only do I have the privilege of speaking to you on this baptism service, I also have the privilege of watching my two daughters and friends be baptized and reaffirm their baptism. But if today is special to me, how much more special must it be to those who have made their decision? So I wonder if we can start by giving them an even bigger round of applause. To begin, our first Bible reading was a section from the story known as Noah's Ark. The story that when God decides to start again with the human race by using a flood, Noah and his family. I would hope that even if you're not a regular churchgoer, you might have some familiarity with this story of Noah. Maybe for some of you, you know the story because your parents or grandparents read it to you from a children's Bible. Or maybe you read it to your children as a parent. But if you don't know the story through any Bible sources, maybe you know the story through the TV screen, through actors like Steve Carell and Morgan Freeman in the film Evan Almighty. Regardless of your source of hearing the story, I'd like to take a few moments and get us all on the same page regarding a few facts in the story. So what are the facts? According to Evan Almighty, he went on the ark with his wife, his three sons, the police, the news reporters, and the whole neighborhood. But in the Bible, Noah went on the ark with his wife, seven other people, his wife, his three sons, and each of their wives. According to most children's Bibles, Noah went on the ark with one pair of animals. Two by two, they arrived, male and female, they came. But according to the Bible, Noah took on there seven pairs of clean animals and one pair of unclean animals, the rats and the lizards. In Evan Almighty, they were on the boat for only a few minutes, and they came off the boat, came off the ark in New York. But in the Bible, they were on the ark for over 1 year, and they came to rest on the mountains of Ararat, which are said to be between Turkey and Armenia. These are the basic facts of the story. So now we've established those facts, let us get on the same page about baptism. What does baptism mean? According to the governing rules of this church, baptism is said to be a public identification with the Christian faith. Someone has been born again. The guys that are being baptized today, the men and women are being baptized today, they are saying that something on the inside has changed, and they are showing that by this public declaration. Baptism is said to be a sign of a new birth. Someone has been born again by the Holy Spirit, born again as children of God. Baptism is also said to be an initiation, an acceptance into the wider church family, and we will see the church make that commitment later to support them. In our second reading read by Peter, John the Baptist kicks off what will become this very traditional Christian practice. He adapts this Jewish practice of ritually washing with water to become clean. He begins by immersing people in water to show that they have confessed their sins, they have repented, they have turned away from doing wrong. In our reading, Jesus arrives on the scene, and he too is baptized. The Bible said as he came out of the water, God sends down his spirit like a dove, and declares from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Today, your friend, today, your family is following in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ, and today, they will be baptized. As they stand in the pool, they will be like Jesus when he was on the cross. As he died and was buried and rose again, they too will be buried with him, share in his death, and rise again to a new life in his kingdom. As they rise, each one of you, God declares to you, he loves you. Receive his Holy Spirit. For you are his son, and you are his daughter, and with you, he is well pleased. Throughout the Bible, God consistently uses water to symbolize a new birth or a new path to a new life. We see it in the beginning of the creation story, when God calms the chaotic waters, brings forward land so life can begin. We also see in the Exodus story, when the Israelites are escaping Egypt, he parts water again and allows them to cross into a new life in the promised land. In the waters of Noah and the arrival of Jesus and his water baptism, if we zoom out on the stories, we too can see a path pointing towards a new life that is available for us today. Zooming out for a moment, in the story of Noah, God looked on the earth, saw sin and corruption, and sent an ark as a vessel of safety. Today, he looks at the earth. He still sees sin and corruption. But this time, he doesn't send an ark. He sends his son, Jesus, as a vessel of safety. In the times of Noah, God sent a flood to cleanse the earth. Today, he sends a flood, but not of water, but of love and grace to cleanse the earth. Love is pouring down from heaven. His grace is springing up from the deep. Noah found salvation in the wooden ark. Today, we found salvation in the wooden cross of Jesus. Today, the cross of Jesus has become the ark in which mankind can find safety. In a world that's so chaotic and turbulent, the ark of Jesus Christ has arrived. The destination is the kingdom of God. All are invited. All are welcome. Is anyone welcome? Is anyone willing to come on board? Since I've been a Christian, I've met lots of people who have misunderstood Christianity and have been turned off. Many see Christianity as an outdated system with lots of rules and lots of guilt. Equally, I've met some people who are curious about Christianity and what life could be like on the ark of Jesus Christ. In fact, I've met some people who are already on the ark who have plenty of questions. So what do people on the ark of Jesus Christ actually believe? And what is life actually like? First and foremost, they believe on this ark, they believe in the good news. That Jesus, the Son of God, has come down from heaven, has come near and given us access to blessings that are available in God's kingdom. On the ark, one of those blessings that we are able to access is forgiveness. People on the ark have confessed their sins, confessed their past mistakes. Their debt has been cleared. The slate has been wiped clean. If they continue to confess when they make mistakes, and they live a life of forgiving others too, the cross of Jesus Christ gives them a clear conscience and access to ongoing forgiveness. Also on the ark is eternal life, the blessings of eternal life, an opportunity for your soul to never perish. They believe at the end of life, when we face that decision, eternal life or death, up or down, those on the ark will tell the lift attendant, "Up, please, I have my ticket to heaven." On the ark, there is blessings of eternal life. Also found on the ark is the blessings of peace. Jesus says, "My peace I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." When Noah was on the ark and the world was being washed away, Noah and his family were protected. Like Noah, when we face our storms, storms with work and storms with our finances, storms with our friends at school, the inevitable storms that engulf our families, we can get onto a hotline with God through prayer. And in reply, he descends, he gives us peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. On the ark, there is the blessings of peace. Finally, on the ark, there is the opportunity to be transformed, for life to be transformed. people on the ark believe that they're being changed. How? By believing in the promises found in this Bible and following the example of Jesus documented in this Bible. People's lives are being transformed to do the good works of Jesus. They are God's handiwork. Let me give you an example. There are people here who have known me for a long time. And if you was to ask them 15 or 20 years ago, could you imagine Curtis speaking to you at 11:45 on a Sunday morning? Or would he be still at an after party? If you made the suggestion to say I would be here, they would be saying, who? Curtis? Croydon Curtis? Rum and Coke, 20 fags a day, Curtis? Ayanapa and Ibiza raver, Curtis? Christian preacher, church volunteer, server of tea and coffee. Never. But on the ark, the word of God is powerful. It is alive and active. It's not me trying to change, it changes me. It cuts away all the bad habits. It heals the pain of the past. It gives us everything we need to live a divine life. Those who will stay on the ark should be able to declare, the old is gone, the new is here, and I am a new creation. This is what our baptism candidates are saying to us today. I am a new creation. So what can I say to those who have been invited? On the ark, we notice that Noah traveled with only his wife, his sons, and their wives. Notice who was not on the ark. Noah's siblings, if there were any, Noah's parents were not on the ark. Noah's wife's family was not on the ark. The in-laws were not invited. For some of you, that's a good thing. But on the ark were people who were going to make Noah fulfill God's command and be fruitful and multiply. To those who have been invited today, I don't know all your names, like I don't know the names of the wives of Noah's sons. But I do know that you have been invited. Unlike the times with Noah, where there was no space on the ark, today it's God's will for all men and women to be saved. So unlike for them, I can say that there is plenty of room on the ark. All are welcome aboard the ark of Jesus Christ. What can I say to those who have been baptized today? Well done. Surround yourself with people who will make you fruitful. Surround yourself with people who will encourage you to be the person God wants you to be. Today is a lovely day. It is time to be baptized. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.